Sunday the 21st December, Air of Hanukkah, Rabbi Donny Elro, Hanukkah, and Horish of Alpeh. Okay, so there's a famous Yesod of the Rambam. The Rambam actually says that he holds, everyone asked the question, what is the Chiyuv follow Divrei Chachamim? What's the Chiyuv follow Divrei Chachamim? So much of our Torah is based on Divrei Chachamim. The Rambam actually says there's five types of Torah Shebal Peh, but Be'etzem they break into three main areas. There's types that are pure Mesorahs, Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. There the Chiyuv is obvious. Hashem told us at Har Sinai exactly what to do, and for whatever reason, it wasn't written into the Chumash. We normally are used to thinking, which I want to try to show is not the case, we're used to thinking that's almost by mikro, like you almost can't really say why something would have been in the Chumash, why something wouldn't be in the Chumash. But there's something, the Halacha, maybe they define more the parameters and the details of the Halacha, but there's Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. Then comes things that are Gzeiros, are Yizkim or Midas. Then comes things that are Yizkim or Midas, which means you can be Dorish them. Droshes use Gzeiros Shavas and Kal Vachomers and Klal Uprat and all the various Midas that we have to be Dorish the Torah, to read the Torah, including sometimes Diyukim here and there. And the Rambam says that those are all changeable in every door. You don't even need the Beis Din to be Godel b'chochma of a minyan. Every single generation can come along and change the halacha, as long as you've got a Sanhedrin. If we'd have a Sanhedrin, and Yitzhak Shem should have a Sanhedrin again soon, they'll be able to undo things like Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephraim. For all we know, I mean, they can undo droshes in each generation. You don't need to be Godel b'chochma of a minyan. You don't need to be greater than a previous Sanhedrin. And finally comes the ability of a Sanhedrin to make gezeiros and takonos. Chachamim can make new halachos, new mitzvahs, can give us halachos that weren't there before, either as a fence or even a full takono. Tilas yadayim, Hanukkah, they can give us these things. They can actually create, as it were, a mitzvah. Of course, it's not really a mitzvah. That would be an isadoraisa of Baal Tosif, but it's a mitzvah, at least, not everyone holds that, but that's Pashtus, the way the Rambam learns. Not a mitzvah in the same sense of a mitzvah min HaTorah, but it's a new thing called a mitzvah midrabbanon. The rabbis have the capability, the rabbanon have the capability of legislating, not in the same way the Torah does, that's why Sofik the rabbanon is the kula, but they can create in their own way laws that are binding, halachas that are binding. And the Rambam's makor for this, that's just his classification, that's more or less universal, but the Rambam gives a makor for this. He says the makor is actually the Torah itself, and the makor is the source of this idea that the Chachamim, A, that all their droshas are binding, and B, that their gezeiros, that any halacha they make is binding, is lo sasor. The pasuk says, the two pasukim actually, the Torah they teach you, that they'll teach you, that's what you've got to follow, but Lo Sosor is the real Makar of the Rambam. Lo Sosor, that you cannot deviate, Yamin and Smol, you can't go right or left from what Chachamim tell you. That means the Torah itself is telling you there's going to be a new system called Chachamim giving us Halacha. Not everybody agrees with the Rambam, there's a Machlekes Rishonim on it, but the Rambam's Makar is the Gemara in Shabbos, and the Gemara in Shabbos is a Gemara that deals with Hanukkah. The Gemara says, "My Mavarach." The Gemara is in the sugya that's dealing with the brachos of Chanukah. It says, "What bracha do we make on the menorah?" The bracha we make on the menorah is a sheker yishana, the voice of a tzivanu ladignesh of Chanukah. Hashem was mekadosh us with his mitzvah, and he gave us a mitzvah called Neiros Chanukah. Hey, Chom Tzivanu, where is this mitzvah? He doesn't give us a mitzvah. He gives a mitzvah. There's two shittas in the Gemara. One is lo sasur. Right, the Gemara brings lo sasur, the pasuk, you can't deviate from what the Chachamim say. Therefore, actually, it's almost like the Kavanah said tivanu b'mitzvot. Asher Yishanah says that tivanu b'shmaya le'divrei Chachamim. Asher tivanu, as the Rambam says, this I explained that he told us, Hashem told us to follow the Chachamim, and they told us to keep Chanukah, and that's abbreviated into Asher Yishanah b'mitzvot of tivanu le'hadlik ner shel Chanukah. So we see that Chanukah is the place where we learn the concept of the koyach of the Chachamim, the power of the Chachamim to create Torah. Now, we are used to thinking, or we may think, probably maybe we do, maybe we don't, but I want to certainly argue that it's not the case, that, I mean, I just thought I'd better point out something very fascinating. there's an obvious kasha on the Rambam. Well, it's not really kasha on the Rambam as such, but there's a question that comes up on this. Does that mean that every time we keep a mitzvah midrabbanon, it's a loisase, we're fulfilling a negative command in the Torah? The mashmos, the implication of the Rambam is that you're fulfilling a loisase. Those who do either the hineni muchon and mazuman or the shem yichuds, of course, don't hold that way, because we usually say lekayim mitzvah sase, or lekayim, even on things that are, for example, Sfirat Omer or Chanukah. We'll usually have a nusach of lekayim mitzvah sase, even though technically speaking, if we're fasting the Rambam, it should have said lekayim mitzvah loisase. Right? Interesting. Well, we'll soon see. I want to explain. I mean, the Rambam doesn't have to answer for nusach of tefillah that lechayra came later, but the minag yisrael. But pashtus, we do go with the Rambam. Pashtus, we do have this minag to treat the drabonos as mitzvah say, and I want to maybe explain how that works. But we'll get there, mitzvah Hashem. I always say we'll get there. I don't know. We don't always quite get there, but so we'll see. We'll see what we can get to. But what's interesting is as follows. We are often used to thinking, almost like we're not quite sure why some things are in Torah Shebichsan and some things are in Torah Shebalpeh. It's almost like, I don't know, you know, I guess droshas were better, you know, they have to be Balpeh, but why are some things in Halachah L'Moshe Misina, some things aren't? It's almost sometimes like, that's it, the Gzeiras HaMelech, Hashem made it that way and some things He made differently. And I want to try and argue that's not the case, and the raya here that I want to bring is a Gemara in Yuma. Gemara in Yuma that speaks about the pasuk in Tehillim about Lamnatzech al Ayelet Hashach, and the Gemara is derish it a number of ways, and the Gemara says as follows. Amar Avasi, he says that it's Lamanim Shel Esther L'Shacha. Why the Mizmar the Lamnatzech of Ayelet Hashacha, the sort of the dawning, we call Esther the Shacha. We say it's Queen Esther, it's given to Esther Malka, and she is like the shacha, like the dawn. Why is she like the dawn? The dawn is the end of the night, the end of the darkness. So Esther is the end of the nisim, the end of the miracle. Already by the Purim story, the nisim are very different. The nisim are not nisim gluyim anymore, they're no longer openly revealed miracles, they are hidden miracles, they're more subtle miracles. And just like the dawn means the night is finished, you can't yet see you can't necessarily yet see the day, the sun, but the night is over. So too with Esther, we finish nisim. Ask the Gemara, the Bahayik of Chanukah, surely there's still Chanukah. Answers the Gemara, Nitna Lekasa Kamina. We're talking about things, Nisim, that were written, that are given to be written in Torah. Chanukah is not given to be written in the Torah. Now, you think when you read this Gemara, one second, there seems to be a problem over here. Are we talking about Torah Shebichsan, Torah Shebalpeh? We're talking about Nisim. She's called Ayelet Hashachar, she's called the end of the night, because she's the end of miracles, right? She's the end of, if there's more nisim to come, right, and it happens to not be written, what's that got to do with anything? The fact is then she's not the end of the process of nisim. Helamite, obvious to what the Gemara is telling us is that there's something different about the type of nes that makes its way into Torah Shebichsav from the type of nes that makes its way into Torah Shebalpeh. It's different. It's the end of the type of nisim that can get into Torah Shebichsav. The type of nisim that I got Chanukah, that's another type of nis. It's a nis that can get into Torah Shebalpeh. It's not my chiddush, and the chiddush from Rav Putna, but lechor is meduyik in the Gemara over here. And I'll take you through how Rav Putna gets there, because it's an amazing yisoid he has over here. But the point being that you see already here, and it's many, many riots to this yisoid, that which is given in a bichsav way, that which makes its way into the Torah Shebichsav, is totally different to the type of thing that is in the Torah Shebalpeh. Again, just to clarify, just to go over that raya very quickly, we say that she's called the dawn. When you are watching the night, you can see a change taking place. You can see it's dawn. You can see it's the end of night. Similarly, if you're watching Esther, you will see that nisim have finished. She's the Ayelet Hashachar. Nisim, as they were, are finished. I have other nisim. So the Gemara says they're not nitam, they're not given to be written bichsav in the Torah Shebichsav. Right, that means to say that when you see Queen Esther, you can know, when you see Purim, you know that the type of nisim that belongs to Torah Shebichsav has finished. Torah Shebichsav has finished, and the nisim that go with it. There's a new type of thing that will happen called Torah Shebalpeh type of nisim. Now, what does that mean? So we'll try to gain some understanding of this and of what the difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh is. But one thing's for sure, the Gemara is telling us very strongly that the nis of Chanukah is something that belongs to the Torah Sheba'al Peh, and it does not belong to the Torah Shebichtav. It does not belong to the Torah Shebichtav. It's a nace that doesn't have a place in the Torah Shebichtav. So let's try to work a little bit, let's try to understand, let's try to gain some grasp of what's happening over here. By the way, I'll tell you something else that's very interesting. There's a Tosfos in Gittin Daf Samach, right at the top of the daf, again, it's a sugya worth going into, but again, we're trying to be brief here. And Tosfos there basically points out that the Ikar Bris, the essential Bris that we have with Hashem, really is on Tavarim Sheba'al Peh, especially the Feirish, Chazal actually said that the Feirish, that the real Bris we have with Hashem is on Tavarim Sheba'al Peh, things that are not written down. But Tosfos explains it because once something's written down, a bris really, or the way it comes out from Tosfos, a bris really means something that is between the two of you. Something, a bris with us and Hashem, is something that is between us and Hashem. There's no room for anything else. It's not for anyone else to have. Anything that's bichsav, Torah that's bichsav, that's written down, of course, eventually gets translated, and the nations of the world, the Ummat HaOlam, get a hold of it too. It was translated by Ptolemy got it translated by the Shivim Zakenim. The Septuagint, we assume it's that, but whatever it was, the Torah was translated first into Yavonis and then into other languages, and it's a Torah that the Ummat HaOlam claim as theirs too. They claim it as theirs too. But that which is not written down can never, ever, ever go to them. Nobody ever claimed that they had the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Plenty of Goyim claimed they had an Old Testament and they got other ones. They claimed Baalus on it. Claimed it's theirs. They can read it, they can learn it, they can be involved in it. Nobody ever claimed Baalus on Torah Sheba'al Peh. Nobody ever claimed that they had the rights of the Torah Sheba'al Peh except for Klal Yisrael. They can't make that claim. Primarily because it was Baal Peh. Right? Being Baal Peh means it's not something that can be translated to them, not something that can be grasped by them, not something that can be held by them. There's based on Rav Yonis and Ibershitz, actually, a very, very beautiful idea that when one of the reasons why they wanted to translate the Torah into Yavonis is that Ptolemy was struggling with trying to work out Chumash. He asked people to tell him, you know, the Yavonim, the Greeks, were very into Chochmah, very into wisdom, and he wanted people to tell him about, he had this massive library, he wants people to tell him, and what's this Jewish wisdom, what is the wisdom of the Jews, and they start trying to teach him Chumash. And every time he gets to Pasuk, they're telling him Diukim, and they're telling him Ramazim, and they're telling him Droshes, and he says, I want a Pirush that has none of this. I just want to see what the words say. I want Bichsav without Baal Peh. That's what they want. And that's what he got. So what Tosfos basically tells us, therefore, is that the bris we have with Hashem, the unique relationship we have with Hashem, that is untouchable by anybody else, is only on that which remains Baal Peh. And here we get to a point that therefore becomes something central to the whole Hanukkah story. We've seen hints so far that Hanukkah seems to be connected to Torah Sheba'al Peh. The Rambam just so happens to learn out the makor of the source of the Rabbonon's Koyach from Hilchas Hanukkah. We just so happen to see that the Nisim of Hanukkah seem to be the Nisim that are called the Nisim of Baal Peh. We're going to soon see, of course, that this ends up being the essential struggle of Yavon against Klal Yisrael. By the way, historically it's obvious that was the case, because the people ruling Eretz Yisrael at the time were Jews, were Yisrael, although the Koyach was coming from the Seleucid dynasty based in Antiochus, eventually got and tried to come in and force Klal Yisrael to stop keeping Torah. But actually before then already the problems were coming from the Misyavnim, from the Hellenized Jews and the Tzidukim and all the people who were denying Torah Sheba'al Peh. So these things are, of course, the essential issues that were relating to Chanukah. It's not a coincidence we keep having to learn out the Koyach of the Chachamim from Hilchas Chanukah. But before we get into that, I just want to point out something that I want to come back to, and that is the following. There are a number of interesting, you know, the Nusach of Tefillah of Al-Anisim, and you could actually give probably a series of 10 Ishirim just on the Nusach Tefillah of Al-Anisim. It's unbelievable. The amount of interesting things, and in, you know, the hint at such deep things, it's obviously, I'm sure we've all been eyeing in it many times, but I'll just point out one or two over here that are very interesting, that are worth thinking about. One is the following, that, you know, you compare the Al-Anisim of Purim and Al-Anisim of Chanukah, and they're both really coming for the similar sort of process, to be Moedet Hashem, which is why we put them in the parts of Tefillah that are about Hodah, about thanking Hashem. Right, we're thanking Hashem, And while we're thanking Hashem, we thank Him also for saving us in the story of Purim or in the story of Hanukkah. And the whole thing, when you read the Aaron Nissim of Purim, the entire thing from beginning to end is all about thanking Hashem. But when you read the story, when you read Hanukkah's one, which we're going to be doing very soon, when we read the one about Hanukkah, we find it almost all about thanking Hashem. And then we have right at the end something very interesting. Okay, you could say that's a part of the nes that we were able to come in and clean out the Beit HaMikdash. We could light the neiros, and that's hinting at the fact that Hashem then allowed our neir to light so long. And they fixed these days of Hanukkah, the Hodos Ulahalal, the Shimcha Adodol, to say thank you to your great name. Now you would think, it's a bit late to put this in over here. This we should have had in the Shulchan Aruch. I mean, this belongs in Orach Chaim, right? This is telling you, you should know that we have a din to say, to have 8 days of Hanukkah, right? To thank Hashem for the listen that he did. Maybe, you know, maybe it should be a little note on the top over here, you know, and I've got a little pirish on the chosh explaining what our kavanah should be right now. Why are we putting this in the middle of can you imagine? Do we don't it in Purim? The Arkane Koru, we read it in the Megillah, our Shema Por, you know, we don't put that in the Tefillah. In the Tefillah we add a little bit, and therefore, by the way, we have Halacha called saying Al Anisim. That's very strange. Unless somehow it's a chelik of the Hodah, unless somehow it's a part of the thanking Hashem, which we'll have to get to. Another fascinating thing over here, another, again, there's so much, but let me just point out one more. We say like this, V'ata barachamach, we say there was a threat. Malchus Yovan al-Shah, there was this terrible threat, came al-Amcha Yisrael, ashkicham Torah secha. Malchus Yovan, of course, in its Meduk, was attacking Torah. Malchus Yovan al-Shah did not have a problem with Jews being Jewish. Unlike in the Purim story, we had no threat against us, and this is well known. La'alabir mechukir tenecha. So V'ata barachamach al-Rabim, so Hashem came with his rachamim. On Mount Talem Be'Sarosham, you stood for them. Rav Ta'eth Rivon, you quarreled their quarrel. Dan Ta'eth Dinam, you judged their judgments. Nekantos Nikmosom, you avenged their vengeance. Right? There's a kashya that many asked. The Pia Setzner Rav asked this actually in a sefer that he wrote in the Warsaw Ghetto. He wrote an amazing sefer which is now called Eish Kodesh. Right? What's that? He asked the kashya. The Pia Setzner Rav. He was the Rav of Pia Setzner before the war, and during the war he was inside the Warsaw Ghetto, and during the he used to give shiurim. It was sakana to do it, but he did it anyway. He had the mikveh, he had the shiurim, everything there in the ghetto, and many of his shiurim he wrote down afterwards in notes. It's actually an amazing thing to read the notes of a godly soul living through what was going on there. He has actually one amazing, it's a digression, he has a place where he asks the kashya, he says how their people are struggling with their munah now. Did they never read history books? They never knew about what went on in Baishay, all the stuff that's much worse than this. And he has the aside, he builds somehow, and people feel things, it's very different. And then he has a footnote the next year, and he said, I'm not actually sure whether Baishay was worse than this. The amount of you feel a god will going through, it's an amazing safer to read. But in there, not actually directly on this, he has it more in Parash Kiseta, but he says, he has this kasha, he says, why do we say, Rav Ta'es Rivon, Dan Ta'es Dinon, Mekan Ta'es Nikmosom? Surely it's wrong. Who was in danger here? Klal Yisrael or Torah? Torah was in danger, not Klal Yisrael. So was the Rebbein, who was being fought for? We were fighting for, it should really say, Ravnu as Rivchot. We fought your battle. We judge your judgment, we avenged yours. Or if we want to deal with the nation itself, so at least say, Rav Ta'es Rivchot. You Hashem fought your quarrel. You fought your judge yours, and the Kansas Lake Mosca, you avenged your vengeance. What are we dealing with? Well, we didn't have any problems over there. Interesting, Kasha. So I want to try and I think all of these are pointing in exactly the same direction. And I want to try and get to that direction. And that direction is as follows. We say, we call the Golas of Yavon, of all the Arba Golis, we describe it as a Golas. Chazal described Yavon as a Golas. Amazing. Although it took place inside Eretz Yisrael, with the Beit HaMikdash, with Klal Yisrael ruling almost all time, nevertheless it's called a Golis, for an obvious reason, because it's called one of the Arba Golis, one of the four Golis, the Maharal is a whole sefer, the Ne'er Mitzvah on this, but it's based on the Madrash Rabbah in two places, the first place being the very opening of Torah, the four phases of darkness that were before the light that comes at the end. And those four phases of darkness, Chazal Adorish, in many, many ways. And one of them is history will go through these patterns. Toyo is the chaos is the period when they're exiled in Bavel, Babylonians take us out. The voyu, the emptiness, is Paras Umadai, Persia. Choshech, the darkness, is Yavon, is Greece. Al Pnei Atahoim is the Western world, is Rome. And the Ruach HaLakim Rechapes Al Pnei Amoim is Mashiach, and the Yihior is Olam Avon. That's how Chazal Adarish. It's in the Darish, a very similar drasha on Avraham Avinu's Bris Bein Absalom, his dream, where also the aim of Chashecha, in fact, the aim, the Chashecha darkness, also is the Golus called Yavon. And it's called the Golus for obvious reasons, because Golus doesn't just necessarily mean physically being dislocated from Eretz Yisrael, but obviously it can also mean when we're culturally and spiritually and from every other angle, not able to manifest a Torah society and a Torah civilization, that's also called Golus. It's called being in exile. But therefore what happens is we always refer to the Greeks, we always refer to Yavon as Choshech. And we want to explain some of the concepts over here. But I want to just deal with pretty similar Yisoid, but from a slightly different angle, and it's as follows. We say, Chazal say there, the Medrash says, Ashech Shichoi Neim Shal Yisrael, the Yavonim are called darkness, the Greeks are called darkness, because they darkened the eyes of Kral Yisrael, because they made them Kisvah Keren Ashar, they set them right on the horn of an ox, we have no portion in the God of Israel. And you think there's a bit of a steer on Minei Obey. Do you believe in Eloika Yisrael, or you don't believe in Eloika Yisrael? If you believe in Eloika Yisrael, what are you talking about? Right? If you don't believe in Eloika Yisrael, what's your issue with the Chelek? You just say, Ein Chas V'Shalom, right? Forget the word. There just is no, right? You believe there is an Eloika Yisrael, there's a God who's the God of Israel, but you want to say we have no chelek in that. What's that mean? And the Yisoid seems to be as follows. This I saw in the Sefer called the Sufas Marochas, which is a Sefer by Rav Chaim Yaakov of Goldwich, the Chassadik of Rochel, who was my Rosh Hashiva many, many years ago. I wrote this Sefer. It's not a well-known Sefer, but there's Dvarim Niflaim, there's beautiful Yisoidus there. And he says as follows. He says, you see, the Ikka struggle of Yavon with Yisrael, and again, this is from Rabbi Yonis and Ibishat, it's from the Ramchal, you almost can't look without seeing this idea. They were bothered by the Torah Shebaal Peh. It's actually based on all the historical sources we have, and it also says something very similar, that they were much more, the Greeks are much more bothered by Torah Shebaal Peh than Torah Shebichtav. Torah Shebichtav doesn't seem to have bothered them as much as Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the historical point. It seemed they were very bothered by Torah Shebaal Peh. But what was their battle, what was their problem with Torah Shebaal Peh? And their problem seems to have been a very simple problem. It's a very simple problem. Both Yisrael and Yavon were into Chochmah, into wisdom, which is why it was the first Golus where we saw en masse Klal Yisrael Jews assimilating into non-Jewish ways of thinking, because it was attractive, because Yavon were very into Chochmah too. But in Yavon, in the Chochmah of the philosophical world of Yavon, there is of course a difference between the Chochmah, the wisdom per se, and its implementation. In other words, sometimes people over-exaggerate this, by the way. The Yavonim were very into virtue. They were into things like that. But they never saw that there has to be a stira between a chacham, somebody who's wise, per se, and somebody who does good things. It's perfectly plausible to be a great academic, right, and to have wonderful things to say, and you can go and learn from such a guy, and the guy himself, you don't learn from his ways. In Yisrael, the din of the Talmud Chacham doesn't apply to a person who is a Rasha. There's no din of the Talmud Chacham by a Rasha. We say that Loi HaMedrash Ika El HaMaisa. Right? It's a Chacham that is, by definition, must be applied. And more than that, Chazal say it's totally on its application. Kol Shechachmosa Merubah MaMaisa, says the mission of its regular. If a person, Chacham exceeds their Maisa, Ein Chachmosa Miskayemes, there's that Chacham, whatever is there is not called Chacham. You might be a very intelligent human being, and you might be able to quote Talmudic pages, but you're not a Talmud Chochmah. Whatever you have is not called Chochmah. It might be secular Chochmah of Talmud studies that belongs in a university somewhere, but it's not the Chochmah we refer to as Chochmah Satoru. Whatever you say will not be Chochmah Satoru. Amazing! It's totally on the way we act. And Kol Shemaisa Merubah Mechochmosa, Chochmosa Miskayemes, and the Mishnah then says that Afidu Bakol Rucha Shabbailam, all the winds blow. Hey, it's Madamit and Elon, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing dimion in the Mishnah, it's a Kasha everyone else around the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, what is a person like who, let's say, the Chochmah exceeds their wisdom exceeds their might? So, like a tree, it's got loads and loads of branches, Shrosh and Wasim, but very few roots. So the wind comes, it's Mahap Chayal Ponov, it will flip it over. And you think that's a very interesting muscle. We normally think that Chochmah, that wisdom, is the root. and the branches are the things that grow out of the root. So the ma'isim should be the anofim, and the chokhmah should be the root, should be the shroshim. But the Mishnah doesn't use that mashal. The Mishnah says that a person's ma'isim, a person's actions, are the root, and chokhmah grows from it. Amazing Mishnah, right? Both Mishnahs say that, right? In other words, our chokhmah is a chokhmah of something that doesn't make sense to the other. It's not a chokhmah of abstract thinking. It's a chokhmah of the living being who's carrying out the chokhmah. Put it slightly differently. You see, in the secular sense, chokhmah is just the accumulation of knowledge, of facts, of pieces of information. In Torah, what chokhmah is the ability to transform a human being from a piece of protoplasmic flesh, bos avadom, offer, min adama, into something that is glowing with ruchnis, into something that is vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. It's the claim. It's the possibility that the Yavan didn't make any sense. The possibility of a person becoming something like the zechelik eloi kamimah, a person becoming a revelation of Hashem in this world, a person glowing with godliness, to put it into English, in this world. That's something that the Yavan was impossible. Yavanim, by the way, were moider to the concept of there's some prime mover. But they didn't believe that can have any interaction with humans, or humans can have any interaction with it, or can be affected by it, or can affect it. To Yavon, the problem was not Chochmah. They loved the world. The world, we can study it and look at its forms and be excited, and there's wonderful things going on. But what they could not do is believe that this realm is a realm that human actions can be mahapach a person from one thing to another. They couldn't deal with Bris Milah, for example, that says you could take a goof, a finished form of a human, and change it to make it into something ruchni. They couldn't deal with that possibility. But Torah is the chokhmah of bringing out that which is the kedusha that's hidden in what looks like offer. Looks down here. That's what he says in Sufas Marachos. That's the yesod of the choshech. He quotes it b'shem the Chazanish, actually, and he quotes the Maita the Chazanish. But the point being that choshech, darkness, the chshichu eneim shel Yisrael. The darkness is when the famous Mitzvah Sharon says there's two types of darkness. There's a darkness where you can't see anything, and then there's a darkness where you mix everything up. The darkness, the choshech of this world, is when things look like they're physical things, and therefore they can't be kodesh. Right? We know physicality is it's nagdus to ruchnius. We know it is. Right? People are attracted to food and to money. There is a pagam automatically in the level of ruchnius. That's the Ramban's whole drasha on the novel B'shus HaTorah on Kedoshim Tiyu. The more you're into Gashmis, you have to be less into Ruchnis. So how can Gashmis ever be Ruchnis? How can a physical body ever be a Kli for Ruach HaKodesh? How can the same Eva that can do Tumah be for Kedusha? How can a human, boss of Adam, offer min Adama, be able to create Torah? And that's Choshech. Because it's seeing reality in an exceptionally superficial way. It's missing the Vayipach Ba'af of Nishmas Chaim. It's missing that who created Offer, it's also Chelek of Ribbono Shel Olam, of his will, of his Ratzon. And therefore, everything that exists in the world has the capability of having Kedusha with it. It's not easy to see it, but it's definitely easy to do it. It's not easy to do it, it needs a fight to do it, but it's doable. It's doable. They darkened the eyes. Why name shall you saw? What that? Just say Shichu Yisrael. You're darkened. Of course, you can't see with your eyes. But a name shall you saw is, says the Gemara in Bava Basra. Actually, when the reign of the Chashmonaim came to an end, because Hurudas killed them, and as well as killing them, he also decided to attack the eyes of Yisrael, and he went and killed. He killed the Chacham, and then of course he blinded the last one, Bava Ben Butta. And Bava Ben Butta tells him when he has Charata that you wiped out the Einai Shel Olam. You wipe out the eyes of the world. The people who see what's going on in the world, Talmidei Chachamim, they should be Yasek Ve'enav Shel Olam, build and redo the Beit HaMikdash. But Einav Shel Yisrael, Einav Shel Yisrael, are the eyes of Yisrael. The eye of Yisrael sees the world totally differently. The eye of Yisrael sees in everything in this world the potential for Ruchnis, sees in a boss of a Domdika thing, in a brain that is both to sees the capability of bringing Torah into the world, sees that which is offered in Adam is the Yipach HaBarach of Nishmat Chaim. That's a name Shel Yisrael that Yavon was fighting against, and now we can begin to see something very powerful over here. The bris that was created with Klal Yisrael, the bris was only on Iskei Torah Shebaal Peh, on things that remain the Al Peh. Why? Because in the Torah Shebaal Peh, the human being has the ability to build Torah. The human being has the ability to machadish chidushim that now become Torah. The human being has the ability to do things that now, gzeiros and takonos that now become Torah. They may have different dinim, they may be sofik derabbanan is lekula, but in principle, when we create pathways in shamayim, in ruchnis, real pathways are created. The reason we can call the mitzvahs asay, the reason we can do that, the reason we can do that is because they really are being created. They're real entities. They're genuine things. When Chacham Megoyza something, when they create a new din, it's actually real. It's a mitzvah say. Let me say like this. This side puts in the Pachad Yitzchak. There's something that says it like this. He says that you have two brachas. The gross says this. Two brachas. We say Hashem b'chavonu. We say two brachas, but the two brachas refer to two totally different things. In fact, two different events took place. Asher b'charbonu refers to the second of Sivan, the day when Hashem took us and made us miyuchas to Him, the day when He said, "V'yisini segula mikol ha'amim," you'll be different to all the nations of the world. And Asher nosanonus refers to Vav Siv, refers to Matan Torah itself when we got mitzvahs. They're two different processes, two different things. One is the relationship with Hashem. And that's Torah Shabbat there. The fact that we are partners, shutfim with Hashem in building Torah, is Torah Shabbat there. And the other is the mitzvahs of Hashem, and that's the Torah Shabbat. And in fact, we see in Halacha, there's an Afkamina, there are two different dinim when it comes to Mesiris Nefesh and Torah. There's a Mesiris Nefesh of somebody, if in Yaharik Val Yavar, you can violate all of Torah except for three mitzvahs. However, if it's a Shas HaShmad, if there's somebody trying to tell you not to be Jewish, then even a small minhag, yarek val yavar. Why? Because if you're dealing with specific mitzvahs of the Hilchos, chiyuvim, pturim, etc. But if you're dealing with the etzem relationship with Hashem, the bris with Hashem, nothing can touch the bris with Hashem. It's nothing to do with the mitzvahs. The bris with Hashem itself, that's what Torah Shabbat is. It's the bris with Hashem. Im lo bris yom v'alayla chukas shamayim v'oritz v'osamti. It's that that defines all of existence. That bris with Hashem, that mesiras nefesh of the bris with Hashem, is a whole different level. Whole different issue. That's in Vayera, that can't be touched. Chanukah was a mysterious nefesh for the bris with Hashem. What they were fighting about was the etzem concept of a bris with Hashem. They didn't care there's a Torah Shabbat. They cared there's a Torah Shabbat. There's a relationship with Hashem. There's the possibility of you creating Torah mitzvahs, you creating Gzeirot and Takanos, you being Dorosh Halachos. That didn't make sense. You're a shutup with Hashem. There's a Kol Dayan Shadon Din Emes Amita. There's an after shutup with Maj Shemayim. That doesn't make sense to you. That can't be. The Yavah. And therefore, that's exactly what the Muhammad was. What we were fighting over was no less than the Etzem Bris with Hashem. And the smallest minhag became worth a whole war. Kilchus Kiddush HaChodesh becomes worth everything. That itself is, we don't have time for that, but that itself is the incredibly slight. But what that means is the following, is that therefore what we were fighting over was no less than the bris of Torah. We were fighting over no less than the capability of having a relationship with Hashem that is defined by bris, that actually is Torah Shabbat Peh. And this now explains the questions we started with. I had so much more to say, I'm so sorry, I always run out of things too quickly, but this now explains what we started with in the following way. We asked the question, we said, if we, in the Nusach of the Tefillah, the Nusach of the Tefillah, the Pesach Torah, am I already out of time? I am so sorry. I'm not going to do this. Okay, right. The Nusach Tefillah Zadis. The Nusach Tefillah Zadis. We say. But Asa Barachamach Rav Mamet Amazalem is Sarachem. Why? Because what Klali Sol had to do at this particular moment was fight for. It's not the specific mitzvah. Yes, Klali Sol was what made the fight of Chanukah the fight of Chanukah. What made the battle of Chanukah the battle of Chanukah was exactly this: was that we made the Ribbono Shel Olam's plan in the world, His Torah, into our Torah. We made his riv our riv. We made his din our din. His nakama our nakama. Rav tos rivam, dan tos dinam, nakam tos nikmasam, was because we saw this as the bris, as the lifeblood of who we are. We saw this. We became fighting. His vision was our vision. His agenda was our agenda. And that's the Piyasetanov says was the answer there. That's what we're doing. We are being Meramis to two issues. One is you made the nace, Hashem. But before you could make the nace, we have to see this as a bris that we can't let go of. We have to see this as the Asher Bochar Bonu, that which is miyuchad to us. That which is different to all other things. When the Gemara says there's nisim b'hai kechanukah, Chanukah lo nitan nikosev. Chanukah can't be written. Because Chanukah is before that which is written. Chanukah is the etzem bris of the possibility of connection between us and Hashem. That doesn't belong in Torah Shabbat. That can't be in a world where almost the Olam could take it. That's something special between us and the Rabbi Shalom. the kavush moynasi mechanuka eru the hoydis lahalal. They fix these days of Hoydah and Halal. Isn't that exactly the nes of Hanukkah? That they can take days that are be'etzem chol, that be'etzem got no kedusha to them at all, and the rabbanon could be mahapach them, that these now become in shomayim days set aside lehoydis lehalal. That is the nes of Hanukkah. The nes of Hanukkah is a bris that is so powerful. Of course, that's a chelik of the nes of Hanukkah. It's a bris that is so powerful that it gives, that we have a bris of Hashem so powerful that we can actually turn these days into days lahodes lahala. And of course, that's the issue of the menorah, but I'm not going to go into that because we don't have the time. I'm sure other people will deal with that in the next few days. But we therefore wish that there should be a Hanukkah that is lahodes lahala, that we're zoicha to be moida mahalo, zoicha to elichtig a Hanukkah, to Hanukkah where we bring or into the choshech of the world, where we bring the or that is that can Mitzvah become the Vayihi or at the end, that our avodah this Hanukkah should be mamshich and bring down into this world speedily the Yemos HaMashiach and the Chayim HaMavah.